Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of Limitless with Nadia. Today, we have another special guest. Her name is Grace Fulkins. She's a content creator in the health and wellness space, and I'm so excited to have her on today because we're going to be talking all about her goals in terms of getting into the content creation space as a wellness and health content creator, and maybe some of the limiting beliefs that are really preventing her from being able to manifest all that success. So, first of all, thank you, Grace, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
You and me both. I cannot wait to get into your story because I feel like there are so many people. And by the way, how old are you?
24.
So I feel like there are a lot of people, and I'm also 24, who are in our age range who are really realizing that whatever they studied in undergrad is just not what they want to be doing with their actual life because they're just not passionate about it. And I think a lot of us are starting to wake up and be like, I want to do what I want to do with my life. Like, I want to do stuff that I'm actually passionate and excited about. And so that's something that I have a personal experience with getting into the social media space. And I can tell you, as somebody who's gotten to the other side, this is a lifestyle that everybody, like, people want to live this way for a reason. You get to be your own boss and it's so liberating and you get to do what you love. So I'm excited for us to have this conversation and hopefully inspire anybody else who, whether you're this age range or not, to do what you want to do. If you want to get into the content creation space, or if you just want to transition out of your current career and into a new one that feels more aligned. So I'm excited to get into this. How are you feeling, Grace?
I am so excited to just hear your thoughts and hear your answers to my questions about limiting beliefs. And because I know you have all the answers. I mean, your affirmations are helping me every single day. I'm obsessed with them. So I'm so excited.
Oh, I love it. Yay! This is going to be so fun. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Tell me a little bit about where you're at in life right now and where you wish you could be instead.
So right now, I am kind of just out starting out my corporate 9-to-5 job, and haven't been there a full year yet. And in life, I'm kind of just trying to find my passion. Well, I feel like I've already found my passion and like kind of take a few steps into it more and take my passion to another level to where it's not just a hobby, but maybe it's a side gig. Maybe it's something more than I could ever imagine, and really just taking that into and making it my life.
Okay, amazing. So you're at a point right now where you are working your 9-to-5, you're realizing it's really not it for you, and you're realizing that there's a space that you would want to be going into instead. Tell me how that passion kind of came to be, or how you started realizing that this is something that you wanted to be doing.
I think the main passion came when I sort of just wanted to flip my mindset and start healing my mind, becoming happier. I really focused on my holistic nutrition. I focused on building my confidence back up because I had little to no confidence. I got really into yoga and I kind of just dove headfirst into this holistic health and wellness and personal development lifestyle. And it really just like set my soul on fire. It's made me the happiest person I've been. It's made me the most confident version of myself. And I used to be so just burnt out, insecure, and I was just really living at a low vibrational state. So now that I've gotten to this high vibrational state, I would love to take that a step further and help other people who maybe are in my position that I was in a low vibrational state and get out of it. So
I love it.
You know, to build their confidence back up and just give back to what I got for myself, if that makes sense.
Yes, no, that makes complete sense. And I love it. And the next question I have for you is, say you could wave a magic wand and create any circumstances that you wanted where you are basically getting to do this as your full-time career or whatever it is that you're looking for. Paint me a picture of what that really looks like. And you can describe it as like, well, I would be doing this and my life would look like this. Like, what details come up for you when you think of that?
Ooh, that's hard because I feel like there's so many. I just always have so many ideas. And one day I'm like, oh, I could go this route. One day, oh, I could go this route. I think ideally I'd be wanting to work with individuals.
So wait, let me actually preface. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just preface really quick, because here's the thing. A lot of people do get really caught up in the path, in the how or what way you want to take. But what I want to know is, what does the end picture look like for you at the most ideal? Not on the way there, but once everything has already worked out, everything is said and done, it's like the end scene of, oh my God, I'm here and it all worked out.
Okay. I would want to run my own company of helping people get out of that low vibrational state. But I feel like almost instead of helping just individuals, because I am in a 9-to-5 job, and I really like the job now that I am in the higher vibrational state. It's a lot more manageable. I've found that work-life balance. I think that I could take what I've learned, not just to individuals, but to companies, and how to like implement the health and wellness into the corporate realm, because I feel like it's traditionally a lot of 9-to-5s can kind of have a lot of people who are burnt out, you know, they're working themselves into the ground. And because that's how I was in college, that's how I was when I was studying for my master's degree, I was just burnt out. But it's made the work so much better now that I've learned how to implement this lifestyle of mine. So I would want to, okay, end goal, I would want to have my own company that helps other people in the workplace get to the state that I'm in now of being able to still work maybe a 9-to-5 while also being the healthiest, happiest, most confident version of themselves. Final answer.
I love it. I think that is such an inspirational vision that you have of really wanting to just give back and help other people in the same way that you were able to help yourself. I think that's so cool. And specifically in the context of that 9-to-5, because there are people who maybe wouldn't want to leave their 9-to-5. They just want it to be more manageable and have the like rituals and the wellness routines that would allow them to sustain that like high vibration. So I think that's so cool. My next question to you is, what's stopping you from getting there?
Well, I would say the main thing is my limiting beliefs and my fear of others' judgment and their limiting beliefs. I feel like there's just a lot of realistic mindsets out there, which is great, but I'm trying to not have a realistic mindset. And you've actually really helped me with that, just like learning how to think more delusionally. But you get into this state of thinking delusionally and you're living your life. And then you tell it to someone else who has a realistic mindset. And then you're kind of like, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't be thinking like that. I just feel like I'm so easily influenced by others' opinions when I shouldn't be. So I think that's the main thing that's stopping me.
Okay. So it sounds like you have gotten yourself to a place where you're like, I can totally be delusional. I can be open to infinite possibilities that things could definitely work out and they will definitely work out my way. But it's when you're around people who don't share that same mindset, where you know they have limiting beliefs, you know they're skeptical, or they're like the type to be like, okay, be realistic, let's put a rein on it, right? And then you're kind of left feeling like, ooh, okay, I'm uncomfortable now, because I don't know, should I believe in this dream or should I? And that's in my next question to you. Do you genuinely believe it, that it is possible and that it is going to happen for you fundamentally?
Yes. And I also do, because one of the affirmations that you've said on your TikTok before that has actually, I think, changed the way I think about my life is the one where you said you want something because a future version of yourself already has that. And that's why it's so deep within your soul that you want it. Like, there's a reason that you want it. So after hearing that, it just excelled my thoughts even more and my beliefs of like, I want this, I can have it. It can happen one way or another, one timeline or another. It can work itself out. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. So, and is this a belief that you are able to sustain when you're alone and not really around people, but then when you're around people, it gets challenged and then you don't really know what to do with it?
Yes.
Okay. So here is the thing. This is going to be a little, this is the spiel that I give all the time. And I love giving this spiel because it's like almost like I'm talking to my past self. I used to be in a place where I was really afraid to post my TikToks on my Instagram, because I had those two platforms very separate. My TikTok was a place for me to be myself and talk about whatever I wanted to talk about, because my Instagram audience that I knew in real life wasn't really on my TikTok as much. So I would post all my stuff there that I was passionate about, like the manifestation, spirituality, wellness, all that good stuff. But my Instagram was the place where it was like, no. I have to be my normal self that everybody already knows of there, right? The part of me that's working the 9-to-5, doing the master's program, posting certain things, right? Staying within my lane that I had created from years before. Mm-hmm. And then there came a point where I realized, I was like, wait, TikTok is literally my authentic self. Like, TikTok is who I want to be. TikTok is where I get the creative freedom to express myself and say what I want. It's like, it's an outlet for self-expression and it feels really good. Yeah. And I owe it to myself to live up to that rather than living up to the version of myself that I have spent so long being that doesn't fit me anymore. And the thing is, there is always going to be a population of people who think that what you are doing, your authentic self-expression, they're going to think it's weird. They're going to think it's like, what are you even doing? I don't align with this. I don't resonate with it, right? There is nothing you can do to change that. That population of people will always be there. It's just a matter of you switching your attention from them to your fans or your tribe or the people that will really resonate with what you're doing, and they'll cheer you on and be like, oh my God, this is amazing, right? So it's like, right, you have your 1.0 self. This is how I like to describe it. I always talk about it this way. Your 1.0 self, that's the version of Grace that everybody knows right now, right? The version of Grace that is working this corporate job, that is, you know, that identity, right? You have the 2.0 self, which is the version of you that's like, oh my God, I get so lit up by wellness. I get so lit up by all of these things of living a high vibrational life and changing my habits and you know, that whole realm. So you have that 1.0 self and you have that 2.0 self. And what's happening is your 2.0 self is kind of clashing with the 1.0 self and you're having a hard time fully integrating the two. And so what you really have to do is remind yourself of the fact that nobody else's opinion matters, especially not the ones who don't align with what you're doing. If they don't align with what you're doing, they're not your people anyway, and they're not people that you need to be worrying about anyway. So tell me some of the people that you are, well, you don't actually have to name people, but you can like give examples of whose opinions are you really afraid of the most?
I don't know if it's necessarily like specific people's opinions I'm afraid of, or if I'm almost just assuming that this will be their opinions because I'm only correlating them to that 1.0 self. So they could be maybe totally on board with it and like supportive. And I'm just in my head assuming that that is going to be their response, probably because I need someone to blame my fear on.
Okay. Interesting. So you've done some self-reflection on this, which is amazing. The next thing that I want to know, is there ever a moment where you are being confronted with, and I think you just explained that there isn't, it's kind of all in your head that you are making yourself afraid, even though you've never actually experienced what they have to say. Has anybody ever actually told you, no, why would you do that? Or, oh, that's weird.
Honestly, no. So that's the thing. No one's actually said that. It's just me assuming that people would think that.
And that's where the whole thing of it's you versus you. It really is you versus you. This is, and I remember you said earlier, I think that before we actually started recording this podcast episode, you were like, I don't know if it's, you said that you think that you're almost projecting or other people's fears are, you're taking them on, right? Mm-hmm. But are they other people's fears or are they yours?
That's feel like they're mine mostly. And maybe it's my ego doesn't want to admit that they're my own because I've done this healing and I have this 2.0 version of myself. My ego's like, well, they can't be yours. So I'm just saying, oh, well, I'm sure someone else would think this.
So that's actually a form of, it's called spiritual bypassing, where, and a lot of people fall into this. I've fallen into this. This is something, it's just very common, where you almost use your spiritual knowledge to intellectualize what you're going through and then rationalize it. So it's like, no, okay, you really have to remind yourself that this is you versus you. Your consciousness is being projected onto your reality, and anything that you're afraid that other people might think of you, that's actually what's happening within yourself. So the question here is, what are you actually afraid of?
I think at the end of the day, I'm probably more scared of the failure aspect than I am of the limiting beliefs and like the realistic part of it taking over my delusional thoughts. I think I can easily get over those. And it's at the end of the day, it's the fear of, I could be delusional, but then what if I'm like this and then I fail? And then it's just, and then I put my fears onto other people as well and say, well, if I fail, then everyone would be like, oh, well, she failed. Mm-hmm. Even though, again, that's just my own fear. I'm like, so, I feel like I've known this, but I've never truly ever said it out loud.
And that's what we do sometimes. That's the spiritual bypassing of being like, no, but I'm high vibrational. I'm good. That's like other people's problem. It's not mine, right? But again, if you're going to do, this is the why this is the motto, is anything that you want to change out here in your reality, it starts with you. You have to start challenging yourself and being like, what role am I playing in this? And this is where I want to ask you the next question of, why are you so afraid of failure?
Well, that's an easy question. I'm so afraid of failure because I am a healing perfectionist. So I have tried so hard to be perfect.
Okay.
And with everything, this, I think it got the worst in college. I just wanted to be the perfect student, the perfect person, dress the best, look the best. And at the same time, I had the deepest insecurities I've ever had while trying to be the most perfect version of myself. So ever since I started trying to heal my perfectionism, be okay with not being perfect and just being myself. But the perfectionism still lies deep down.
Okay. And let's dig a little bit into that. Where do you feel like the perfectionism really comes from? Where is that? What's the underlying motivation there?
I honestly, I'm not sure.
And if you're not, that's okay. If you don't know, that's totally okay. The answer might come to you at some point later on. Maybe you haven't really given it that much thought, but is there a point in time or maybe something you can think of from your childhood where you were either expected to be perfect or you put that expectation on yourself? Like, where do you feel like that might have originated?
I think I put it on myself because, you know, my parents always supported me through whatever, but then through college, I remember like I would send them any exam I got an A on, I would say, I just got an A on this exam. I just got it. Like, cause I think I just needed that external validation to feel better about myself, to feel more confident, to feel more perfect. So I don't think it was anyone putting it on me. Okay. It was just me putting it on myself.
Okay. So, and you said this is something that you still actively like deal with of the perfectionism, right?
Yes. I've gotten a lot better with it. But it's still there and still pops up every now and then.
Well, here's something I want to tell you so you don't feel alone. I am also a recovering perfectionist. That's what I like to call myself. I am a recovering perfectionist because this shit is hard. Like, it is so hard having an inner critic that's always like, well, you could be doing that much, that better, and that could be better. And well, that's not actually not all that great. It's like you're in this constant state of like nothing is ever good enough. And that's so annoying and uncomfortable. So what I want to know at this point is, when does that perfectionist voice, when do you notice, like in the granular moments of your day-to-day life, when does that perfectionist voice get the loudest?
I think it just gets the loudest if I maybe mess up on something or I'm feeling a little low vibe that day. And then it can, that's when it gets louder because I let it slip through.
And what does it say?
I think it's in my mind, I just constantly go over like what I could be doing better. I've never really like thought to listen to it, if that makes sense.
And this is why I ask these questions, because most of us don't realize that that's even a voice in our heads. We just, what happens is we over-identify with our thoughts. And this is where the observer, like being the observer really comes in. Remember that you are not your thoughts. You are the observer, the awareness that is looking at those thoughts and experiencing them, but you don't have to identify with every single thought that comes up, right? If you can detach and be the observer and listen to the voices that are, not the voices that are happening in your head, but the thoughts that happen in your head, right?
Yeah.
And you pay attention to what they're actually saying. You can then exercise your free will and choose, is this a thought that I agree with? Is this thought helping me or is it harming me? And can I give myself permission to let it go? So, but if you're not listening and you don't have that self-awareness mode turned on, then every time that perfectionist starts saying something, that inner critic says something, you're going to automatically believe it and you're not even going to question it because you've made the mistake of assuming that this voice is you rather than a fleeting thought. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's really good. I've never really thought about it like that. Wow.
Yeah. So this is where, this is the first step for, I mean, for every like self-help journey is turn self-awareness mode on. This is what I tell all my coaching clients at the very beginning of our coaching journey. Start paying attention to what thoughts are coming by and start paying attention to what thoughts you automatically believe, even though they don't really help you. Because the basis of all of this is the law of assumption, right? It's your beliefs, the things that you hold to be true about yourself and your reality. Those are what end up manifesting, right? It's those actual beliefs that you subscribe to. And The cool thing is that your subconscious mind, which is where those beliefs are stored, cannot differentiate between what's real and what's fake. It has no level of discernment. It can't be like, okay, well, that's true and that's actually not true. Anything that you repeatedly tell it over and over again, it will take it as a truth. It'll be like, okay, cool, that's a fact now. We believe it, and guess what? It's going to manifest. So this is why you have to start being very mindful. What thoughts are you allowing to slip through to your subconscious and you're believing, even though they're not actually helping you? It's all subjective. You get to choose which beliefs you subscribe to. You get to choose which beliefs hold truth. And this goes back to, everything goes back to affirmations. You guys know how I feel about affirmations, right? Affirmations are literally the meat and potatoes of your self-help journey, because everything we think about is basically a form of an affirmation. This is just a suggestion or like an example of what your perfectionist voice in your head might be saying. You're never going to be good enough if you do that. If you do that, you're going to fail. There's no way to predict success with 100% like accuracy rate. So it's not worth it. You're not going to win, and you're not going to succeed at that. This is a subjective thought. It is not a fact. You have turned it into a fact because you've believed it after you've told yourself that statement so many times. But again, if you can rewire your subconscious at any point in time. You have the free will at any point in time to be like, oh, hold up, that does not resonate with me anymore. I don't like that belief anymore because it doesn't fit. It doesn't align with who I actually want to be and what I want to do. So you get to literally tell yourself, again, you turn that self-awareness mode on, you figure out what the hell is actually happening in your headspace, and then a thought comes up that is not in alignment, and then you get to be like, you know what? I'm going to let that one go, actually. That one, we're not subscribing to that. I am actively unsubscribing from this idea because it is not serving me. Because think about it. Does it actually serve you to believe that you will fail? Does that serve a real purpose?
No.
The reason why you feel that way is it's a fear, and your brain is wired biologically to protect you from something that might harm you, right? But when you're thinking to yourself, I might fail, I could fail, that is a threat that is not real yet. It's not a danger that's an actual tangible issue. Your brain is trying to predict how something might go, and that thought is causing you to be like, oh no, okay, I don't want to do that. That's just not a place I want to go in, because you're afraid of that failure, right?
Right.
But the truth is, the facts, at least in my world, that usually helps a lot of people be able to move through this, is that failure is not a destination. It's literally part of the journey, and you can't escape that no matter what you do. You will always fail sometimes at the things that you're doing, but it's about seeing it as part of the journey. So I used to have the same thing I told you. I used to be a perfectionist, right? Where I would be like, oh my God, like, I don't know. I can't take that leap of faith because I could fail. It might not work.
Yeah, totally.
But then I had to reframe my mindset and be like, it might not work the first time, or I might have some obstacles the first time, but that doesn't have to be the destination. It doesn't mean that it's like, oh my God, I failed and it's never going to work. It's a learning curve. It's a learning, like every failure is actually an opportunity to learn and to grow. Because you want to be a content creator and you want to create a business with this, right? It's never going to be a streamlined process where you're making the right move every single time, because it doesn't work that way for anybody. You have to go into the experience and you have to be able to learn from what's happening, learn from the mistakes that you're making, and then you'll be able to actually get there. But again, this all ties back to the belief that I'll fail and I won't be good enough and it won't work is preventing you from even taking the first step. So it's about assessing, do I want to believe that anymore? Or do I want to say to myself, it's all a learning experience. I can't fail because failure is not the destination. It's just part of the journey. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, that is so good. I'm like just soaking it all in because that was just so good.
Oh, I love it. And tell me, how are you feeling right now? What thoughts are coming up in your head?
I feel good. I think that it was just a lot of things that I had known deep down, but I never said them out loud. So it's kind of like, I don't know if it's a weight off my shoulders or just like a relief to like be able to say it out loud and, you know, feel safe to say it of like, hey, it's okay if I have this limiting belief. It's okay if I am afraid of failure, but it's also okay if I have these dreams. Like I don't have to be super quiet about it. Like I'm allowed to say it out loud and nothing happened. I'm good, you know?
Yep. You see? And that's just another example of how your brain tries to scare you out of doing things because it's like, oh no, that's too dangerous because something really bad might happen. But then you do it and you're like, oh my God, wait, it actually was not that bad at all. So this is just a testament to the fact that not everything your brain tells you about what's going to be scary or really hard is true. It's just your brain's way of trying to protect you from a danger that does not yet exist. So the other thing is I'm glad you brought this up. So you know how you said I was really scared to talk about this out loud? Like, I always felt it, but I never really externalized it.
Yeah.
Any form of energy, which, like, your emotions and your beliefs are a form of energy. Any form of energy that is not expressed, your body stores it as trauma. Did you know that? So every time you get really upset, or you feel really fearful, or you get really angry, or you have this really strong emotion that happens, and you don't give yourself the space to release it or feel it all the way through, your body will literally hold on to it, and it can manifest as illness. Physical illness, mental illness, the anxiety and depression, PTSD. That's all the body holding on to all this energy that is meant to be expressed, and it's not giving it anywhere to go. So the body just holds onto it, and then just becomes this like big ball of stress and anxiety and fear. So this is also another lesson of, it's okay to talk about how you're feeling. It's okay to feel the way that you're feeling. You're supposed to feel the way that you feel, right? The fears are there for a reason. It's good to get curious about it, but you can't get curious about it if you're not opening that Pandora's box and you're not feeling things all the way through. So limiting beliefs, yeah, they're annoying. Yeah, they're an obstacle. But if you are not looking at it and you're not giving yourself a way to pull it out of your brain and take it out and actually look at it for what it is and feel the fear that comes with it, you'll never be able to move through. You're just going to be trying to move around it all the time, but it's still like a boulder that's in your path. It's not going to go away. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think I thought it would just go away by not thinking about it, because I didn't want to think about it and have it manifest more of my thoughts, but it was still in there because I was just ignoring it.
Okay. So you are, true or false, you get afraid to verbalize your limiting beliefs because you're afraid that that's what's going to manifest.
True. 100%.
Okay. So this is a common belief that so many people have, and it upsets me. It like hurts me because I used to feel this way. I used to think this way as well. And it's such a painful place to be in of, you don't even feel, like you said, you don't feel safe to express how you're thinking or feeling, because you're like, oh my God, no, I can't talk about how scared I am of that, because then what if that manifests, you know, manifestation. But this is the key that you have to understand, is that it's not that every singular thought that you are thinking is going to manifest. It's your most dominant thoughts and emotional experiences that manifest. So everything that you're thinking at least 51% of the time, that's what's going to manifest. If you have one singular thought, or you talk about something for 5 minutes, right, about how you're thinking or how you're feeling, that alone isn't going to be, okay, then it's going to manifest. Oh shit, I just talked about this and now it's actually going to happen for me. It's the things that you keep feeding with your energy and your awareness, the things you keep talking about, the things that you keep thinking and feeling and experiencing over and over. It builds momentum and then it comes to fruition. So this is actually having the opposite effect. A lot of us don't realize, this is why spiritual bypassing can be so annoying. You don't realize that you running away from this limiting belief is actually what's making it a problem. Because when you close your eyes to it and you allow it to just like sit there and fester in the back of your mind, right? You're running away from it, but it's still there, right? And there was something else I was going to say, and I literally just thought, this happens to me all the time. I'll lose my train of thought in the middle of what I'm talking about, and I'm like, oh shit, how do I backtrack? How do I go back and save this?
That happens to me all the time.
What was I just talking about?
Like,
so annoying.
Letting it fester in your mind. And actually, I was going to say that it makes total sense, because I, just like you, love affirmations and speaking affirmations every day. I try and do them as much as I can. And I think that's why, is because I was such in the mindset of, you speak what you want into existence. So I didn't want to speak it into existence, like you said, but just the same thing, like then it's just sitting back there festering in my mind because I'm not speaking it into existence, but I'm not addressing it either.
Exactly. It's literally just sitting there, and it's something that's still happening in the background, and it's creating an emotional reaction inside of you because you think of the fear and you're like, oh my God, that's scary. Like, I don't want to think about that, right? Creates that emotional reaction, and then it goes on repeat because you're not looking at it and you're not getting curious and kind of not undoing it, but taking a serious look at, what is this and is this helping or hurting me? And then you become like almost at the mercy of those limiting beliefs. So they're almost controlling you now because you're not giving yourself the free will to look at it and be like, okay, I'm not into this anymore. So are there any other limiting beliefs that you have been afraid to talk about because you're afraid that they're going to manifest?
I don't think I have not necessarily limiting beliefs that I think are going to manifest, but more the opposite of I have things I want to manifest, but the limiting beliefs or the realisticness of my mind just sets over them when I get into that state of fear. Because if I'm thinking, you know, delusionally, and I'm having a very high vibrational day, I could have all these thoughts of like what I want to manifest. And I could be literally thinking of the most extravagant, crazy idea. And my mind is like, yeah, okay. And then a limiting belief of fear of maybe not getting it. I don't even know what sets in, or the realisticness of it sets in, and it just hits the ceiling on it and it caps it. And then I don't think about it.
Okay. That makes complete sense. And that's what happens to like most of us, right? When we're struggling with that kind of an issue. What I want to know is is there like a specific thing that you can think of right now that you would really love to manifest, but that limiting belief just keeps getting in the way?
I think the biggest thing that gets in the way of my is manifesting wealth. I feel like I have the vision of what I could be in my life, and it's so easily the realisticness of wealth that society puts out there is so, I feel like, just like deeply ingrained in my brain, that the minute I start thinking about really extravagant, wealthy ideas, it just sets in and my brain is like, maybe for someone else, but I don't think, and I don't think that would happen for you though.
Interesting. And there's a question that I was going to ask you. So you're realizing that you have a lot of limiting beliefs surrounding money, and you're having a hard time believing that you are capable of manifesting a lot of wealth.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you see yourself as the exception to that, of it can't happen for you, but it could happen to somebody else?
I don't know. And I've tried to go deep with this before, because I've tried to just really cut this out, because I don't want this limiting belief. And I don't know what it is. I think it's just maybe, I don't know if it's like society's generalizations that I've grown up with that have made me think about it, or I'm not exactly sure.
So this is where I want you to really start to get curious. And this happens for some beliefs where it's like you realize that you believe it, but then you look at it for a second, because again, it's usually sitting in the back of your brain, and it's like with all these dusty cobwebs and you haven't touched it in a while. It's just sitting there, right? But then when you pull it out, you look at it and you're like, okay, where did this come from? Why do I believe it? Get curious, genuinely get curious and be like, why do I believe this? If there is not a valid reason and that belief is not serving you, guess what? You can cut it out. That's it. I'm good off that. Actually, this is an expired belief. I'm going to go back and reach into my psyche and grab all the expired beliefs that I don't understand what they're doing here, and I don't really want to believe them anymore.
Right.
Let those go and be like, you know what? I give myself permission. It's really just about giving yourself the permission, actively and consciously being like, I give myself permission to let go of this belief because it no longer serves me, and I am expanding beyond that. It's like the opposite of an affirmation. That's what the limiting belief is, right? Limiting beliefs are kind of like the opposite of affirmations, right? Where it's like, rather than empowering you, they disempower you. They take away your power. So it's really about asking yourself, what is the limiting belief that I have? Get curious about it. Where did this come from? If it's not, if there's no real logical reasoning for it that makes sense for you and that's serving you, then it's okay to be like, you know what? I give myself permission to release this belief. It is no longer serving me. How can I turn it into it's like reverse engineering it into an affirmation. So as an example, the limiting belief is that wealth is possible for others, but it's not possible for me. That limiting belief does not serve me anymore. I don't know where it came from. I don't know where I picked that up from, but that is not the move anymore. I am going to unsubscribe from that and instead believe and affirm to myself, wealth is inevitable for me. Money loves me. Money is actually obsessed with me, and it's always trying to find its way into my pockets. I am constantly inviting wealth into my life, right? Like, this is where, again, the lucky girl syndrome, we haven't talked about this, but this is where lucky girl syndrome comes into play. You aren't the exception to where everybody else gets wealth but you. You are the chosen one who gets to have all the wealth because you're supposed to have it. And again, it's not about looking for evidence of the affirmation first and then being able to believe it, because you're not going to believe it at first, right? This is a completely new way of thinking that contradicts what you've believed your whole life. But it's about saying it. Again, you're actively letting go, unsubscribing from the limiting belief, and you're replacing it with this affirmation, and you're saying it over and over until you actually do believe it. So it's like, if you were to let go of that old limiting belief, and then start saying that affirmation regularly, consistently, guess what? You would start to attract experiences that are a vibrational match. You would be getting that money. You would be securing that bag. You would be inviting in all of that material abundance just with your beliefs alone.
And I love that so much because I feel like I'm so close on this healing journey and just personal development journey that I've been on. I've grown mm-hmm. so much and I've gotten mm-hmm. past so many things. So I'm so close mm-hmm. to getting past this. And there's moments where I am manifesting things mm-hmm. small or large. It almost comes in waves though, because it's not super mm-hmm. consistent because I'll be super high vibrational, like really just saying my affirmations, manifesting what I want. And then I get a limiting belief and it dips down. And so mm-hmm. right now it's just kind of wavy and I haven't been able mm-hmm. to find that consistentness of truly cutting the ties of the limiting beliefs.
What if I told you that you're never going to have that consistency? What if I told you it was always going to fluctuate like that?
Well, then I'm at least prepared.
So this is why I'm bringing this up, because I feel like, and I know I was the same way for a while, because it's the perfectionist streak of I have to get to the point where everything is perfect and it's all tied together in this pretty little bow, right? Healing mm-hmm. is not a destination. Healing is a journey. It is always happening. You are constantly expanding. You are constantly evolving. There will never be a point in time where it's like, I'm high vibe and I'm going to stay like this forever because I healed all my problems and all my pain is gone and it's all going to be great for the rest of my life, right? Amazing as that, actually, it wouldn't be amazing and there's a reason for it. I'll explain. But it's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to, there's this universal law. You know how we have the law of assumption, law of attraction. There's something called the law of rhythm. And the law of rhythm is that everything in this universe, it's all energy, right? And energy is always moving in cycles. It's always moving it up and down, down this, like, it's like a roller coaster, right? There is no high without a low. The high doesn't exist without the low to compare it to. So the low points that we like to label as something that this is where the spiritual bypassing comes into play. Oh my God, no, I don't want to feel that. That's a bad emotion. I don't want to think that. That's a bad limiting belief, right? We're running away from that, but this is actually where the work starts. And that's where you're supposed to pay more attention to, because there's a reason for that low. There's a reason for the limiting belief, and it's a learning experience, right? It's a learning experience of giving yourself the space to think and feel however you're thinking and feeling, exercising your free will and deciding, is this something I that's good for me or not good for me? But again, you're going with the waves though. It's not that you're condemning something of like, this is bad and I don't want to feel this. You're supposed to feel it, because if you don't know what the low is, you won't know what the high is. Again, there needs to be that comparison. So it's like healing, again, is not a destination, it's a journey. You are supposed to experience these fluctuations. The low points that we label as the low points, right? They're asking something of you. They're asking you to feel something and to look into something that maybe isn't serving you anymore, so that you can expand your awareness beyond that and learn the lesson. And the lesson itself, that like the growth is in the lesson though. Like imagine, and think of it this way. You have somebody who was like maybe born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Their life has always been easy. Theoretically, this doesn't actually exist, right? Everybody has like tough times. But just for the sake of the analogy, you have somebody who is like silver spoon in their mouth. Everything is always handed to them. Everything is always fine. They're all high vibrational and amazing. Then you have somebody who has a lot of low points. Maybe they do have a lot of trauma. They have a lot of things that are really difficult, like really hard experiences. The person with the silver spoon in their mouth never has to reach a point where they have to experience pain and learn something from it. It's always just high vibe. It stays the same throughout. It's like static. Versus the person who has those like kind of really painful, difficult situations, they're getting the opportunity in that difficult situation to face their pain and be like, okay, why is this experience happening? What am I meant to learn from it? And how can I grow from it? So it's about looking at the limiting beliefs and those like difficult points, not as something to run away from. This is a part of the human condition. This is what gives you the space to grow. This is what gives you the space to elevate and reach those new heights. But if you're constantly running away from it, it's going to waste. It's just sitting there and it's constantly in the back of your mind and it hurts, it's painful, it's uncomfortable, and it prevents you from reaching the points that you want to reach. So look at the low points as an opportunity. It's a learning experience and it's an opportunity for growth and expansion.
I love that. I've actually never heard of the law of rhythm before. And I'm really into that stuff. So mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. need to like go deep into that now. That is mm-hmm. so fascinating, but it makes sense to me. Like
yes.
you're not supposed to just mm-hmm. take it out and get rid of it and not address it. Like it's all to learn and to grow so that you get to that high point. Wow, I love that so much.
Yes, this is why I think studying the universal laws is so important, because it gives you so much insight to the nature of reality and the nature of our experience as human beings, so that you kind of have a way to make sense of what's going on around you. So, law of rhythm is a good one, law of assumption, law of attraction, law of polarity. There's the masculine and feminine energy, creation energies. You need to have both in order to successfully manifest something. So I think that's totally a deep dive that you should do if that's something you're thinking is sparking your interest.
Yes, I am going to dive
Ooh.
deep on that,
Oh,
all
never
of them.
mind. Good. I love it. First of all, I want to thank you, Grace, so much for coming on today. This has been such an amazing conversation. We do have, actually, before we actually sign off, we have two things we have to go through. Limitless Challenge of the Week, and I need to guess your big three. I need to
Yes.
guess your big three because I have some ideas, I have some theories, and we'll see. So we'll start with the guessing your big three. So I know that you're an Aquarius. So Grace is an Aquarius sun. We know that. I definitely see the Aquarius vibes here. I would say within your big three, because you have such a perfectionistic streak, and because I feel like I resonate a lot with your thought process and experiences, I'm a Virgo rising. I'm gonna guess that one of your big three is Virgo. And the other is, I feel like I'm gonna ask you some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
When you are having a day to yourself, you're like hanging out by yourself, what's your favorite thing to do?
I thrive on days by myself. I love to have a clean space, and then I love to go work out, have a day, go get coffee, maybe go to a farmer's market, like just really soak it all
Okay.
in of all those like just wholesome moments.
Okay. I love that. So that could also be Virgo. Let me ask you this. When you meet new people, like you've just met somebody new, are you shy? Are you outgoing? Like, what's your vibe like?
I would say naturally, I'm a bit more shy right off the bat, although I'm working on that with my confidence. But I think
Okay.
I relate more towards shy until you get to know me.
So I'm definitely getting a lot of earth energy. So I'm gonna guess that you have the air, obviously, is your first one. I'm gonna guess that your other t are you super do you like to work out a lot? Do you like to move and like do high energy activities?
Yes.
Okay. So I am gonna guess that in your big three, you have Sagittarius, Virgo, and Aquarius. Obviously, we know the Aquarius, but Sagittarius and Virgo, I'm gonna go with those because like I said, the Virgo energy, very perfectionist. When you said you like to have a clean environment, that screams Virgo moon to me. And also the inner critic being loud also screams Virgo moon to me. Sagittarius would explain why you love like the physical activity and stuff, but you're also not super outgoing like Aries and Leo. Sagittarius is usually like that's the fire sign that I feel there's more. Like it's more reserved or more shy energy. It's so cute. So, do you know your big three or shall I calculate it for you?
I know I haven't pulled up. I am main
Oh,
one
yeah. Okay, tell
is
me.
Main one is Aquarius. My moon is Libra, and I'm a rising Leo.
Oh, wow. I was way off. Do you have any Virgo and Sagittarius in your chart?
No, actually, I don't at all.
Wow. Sad face. This is I my superpower, my like spidey senses with this stuff is like off today because I also guess your human design type wrong, which is so upsetting, but it's okay. Okay, so you're a Leo rising, Libra moon, Aquarius sun. So interesting. I actually love Libra moon placements. One of my Monica from my last podcast episode, a good friend of mine, she's also a Libra moon, and we just get along so well. And then the Leo rising also makes sense. But I think once you really step into your confidence, that Leo rising is going to be like, oh, I'm here, honey. Like, you're not going to be afraid or like shy at all to talk to people.
Yes, and like my
But that is actually
childhood
interesting because
self.
I do notice that a lot of Leo.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say my childhood self is like the most Leo rising energy ever. Like I needed to be front and center of everything. I had the wackiest outfits.
Really?
I always needed to be holding a microphone, doing something. So I think that
I love it.
I don't know what happened that made me a
Oh
little
my
bit less
God.
of a Leo rising, but I'm getting back there.
I honestly, I love it. And I love that you're able to draw the connections with like Leo and your child self. And here's another thing, because I know that we're very close in age, our birthdays are really close. So you're a Leo North Node, just like me. And your North Node is your destiny, your purpose, the traits that you're supposed to embody to really become your best self and fulfill your purpose. And since we're Leo North Nodes, and your Leo is conjunct it's in the same planet as your rising sign, you embodying Leo energy, you learning to embody Leo energy is really what's going to propel you forward. So I would actually say that confidence should be like your first focus right now of like, how can I go back to being that childhood self that's like spotlight, always holding a microphone, always wearing some like big outfits. And that might help you really tap into your power and feel like you've activated your best self.
I love that so much. And I have been working on my confidence so much the past 3 years, because it really just like, I don't know what took it away, but it was, I was so insecure for so long, and I've been building it back up. And I mean, it's so much different. So just, I got to keep getting at it, saying the affirmations, stepping back into that little Leo girl that I was.
Yes. Oh my God. I love it. I love it. So the last thing that we have to do is our limitless challenge of the week. I'm thinking, and you can let me know your thoughts, I'm thinking we have our listeners do a limiting beliefs journaling exercise. What do you think of that?
I love that.
Amazing. So what we can do, I will actually attach a journaling guide for limiting beliefs and really getting all of your limiting beliefs out in the open. And we can do it about money. Let's do that. We'll do a manifesting money, like limiting beliefs, journaling exercise, and you'll be able to do that and really just start getting curious. Honestly, it's do the journaling exercise, but the real limitless challenge of the week is become self-aware of your limiting beliefs. Don't be afraid of them. Talk about them. Put them out on paper. Feel them. Feel the fear. It's okay to feel the fear, because otherwise it's just going to sit unexpressed and it's going to hurt you in the long run. So get curious about your limiting beliefs. Be okay with exploring them and getting kind of opening that can of worms, because it is going to benefit you in the long run, and they're not going to control you anymore, which is the ideal situation, right? So think about what your limiting beliefs are. Get comfortable talking about them, and then try to reverse engineer them into affirmations. You remember how we talked about with the manifesting money, right? Oh, manifesting wealth is possible for everybody but me. Well, let's flip that, right? Money literally loves me. Money is obsessed with me. Money is constantly trying to flow into my pockets. So try to get curious about your limiting beliefs and then reverse engineer them into affirmations and start repeating those to yourself to see how you feel. What do you think?
I love that so much. I am so here for that.
Yay. Okay. Amazing. So with that, that wraps up this episode. I want to thank you again, Grace, so much for coming on here and being vulnerable. I know it can be so hard to talk about the limiting beliefs, which is the whole basis of this conversation, right? So thank you for that honesty and that transparency. I know so many people are going to feel inspired by this conversation and by your story. So where can everybody find you on social media or with your website? What do you have out there so people can connect with you?
Absolutely. So I'm on Instagram and TikTok. Both are goodlifebygrace_. You can find me on my website, which is just www.goodlifebygrace.com. And I have recipes on there. I have my meal guides and my good life guides. So you can find me a lot of different places.
Amazing. And we will have all of that linked in the episode description. We'll have the website, TikTok, and Instagram so you guys can find Grace and get connected with her. So again, thank you so much, Grace, for being on. It's been so wonderful having you on this episode, and we will see you guys next week. Thank you for listening.